Thank you. Let us appreciate Bwana Maina one more time. Thank you. Thank you very much. And just as he sits down, I want to say that indeed missions happens to be a very important aspect of why this happens. I think the reasons why we have been able to gather today is at the end of the day to be able to tell people about the gospel. Talking about that, may I take this opportunity to invite all of you who are joining us on our YouTube channels or on any other electronic platform. It's always a pleasure to know that you are with us. And please go ahead and subscribe to our channel if you have not already subscribed to our YouTube channel. And more than that, the Bible says that he who has been blessed should go ahead and bless those who have blessed him. So go ahead and also visit our website and also give towards our ministry here at Mamlaka Hill Chapel. It's always a pleasure. But more than that, don't become an electronic congregant. Please come and enjoy the warmth and the strength of God's people together. Let us welcome those who are joining us via live stream. Thank you. Greetings from the city campus, but I can be able to say greetings from the staff. And it's good to be here today. And just being able to come here and be able to think about where we are at this moment, I couldn't help but think about the issues of peace. Peace, because sometimes when things that are a little bit off happen, we are left in a state of being a little bit unsure of how to go about our life. Some time ago, my son asked me, "Dad, if you had a lot of money, what car would you buy?" And he knows that I'm a bit of a petrolhead, and I was being modest with him. I did not tell him what I would want. But today I can be able to confess to you that if I had a lot of money and it was not an issue, definitely it would be a Range Rover V8 Autobiography, supercharged. And it is not a green vehicle in any way, but it has presence. And the reasons why I like it so much, because you will know, especially with its daylight running lights in your rear view mirror, that you do what? Get out of the way. This vehicle wants to pass. Now, there is another advantage to having a Range Rover, but many other things. But one of the things I was doing as I was doing a bit of some research around this area during my free time, I discovered that 95% of Range Rover owners never go off-road. Where is a Range Rover basically found? It is found in the streets of Runda, Mudaiga, Karen, and many other places. Never where? In the Bundus to Bundubash. Yet the aspect of it all and the way it has been created is for it to be actually to go into the unknown. You're supposed to point and shoot, and that vehicle is supposed to go. But generally what happens is this. A vast majority of Range Rover owners will not go off-road for fear of scratching the paint. You know, usually it's metallic finish and many other things here and there. So you don't want that to happen. And to a large extent, I want people to say that our lives are almost are very, very capable whenever we are doing the things that we do. And you will be very surprised at how capable you are sometimes when the vicissitudes of life hit you. And challenges of life do come all the time. Jesus is asked this very issue in Luke chapter 13. And it's just a little bit something I wanted to look before we go to our main passage. And in Luke chapter 13, Jesus is asked a couple of questions. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now, that's a very interesting statement. How did Pilate mix their blood with their sacrifice? Basically, these people were in a place of worship, and Pilate, being the bad leader he was, seemed to have brought down an insurrection, and in the process, he happened to have actually killed people who were busy worshiping God in the temple in Jerusalem. And it goes on to say this. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Basically, Lord Jesus is saying that challenges and disasters occur in life. They are a part of our existence where we are. But there's a much bigger overarching theme that is critical. And what is this? That we need to have a right relationship with God. Because once you are able to sort out that relationship with God, yes, there will be wonderful moments in his life, but also there will be things that will happen in our lives which are complete, which cannot be explained. I mean, all of us can be able to remember the terrible day when there was that terrible attack at what is the name of that mall? Westgate, yes. And everybody, if you ask somebody, where were you on the day of Westgate? They can actually be able to tell you even who they were meeting. Why? Because this came from completely left field. And just this Wednesday, as members of staff, when we got news of the passing on of Maureen, we were devastated, because this is somebody whom we have been able to interact with, see, and have as a part of our lives. And so what happens when such things happen? At the end of the day, the one thing that makes sense is that we need to be able to have resolved our issues with God. Because at the end of it all, repentance is what Jesus talks about. And today, as I was thinking about what I would be able to say, I decided to call this message, Peace with God's Triumph in All, Peace with God Triumphs All Difficulties. Peace with God Triumphs All Difficulties. And if you have your Bible, may I ask you to please open to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. It is good to hear the rustling of Bibles. That means we have quite a number of analogs among us. Yes, it's good to touch a Bible and feel it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Let me read up to, we'll read a few verses and we'll be able to talk about a few things as we go along. The Bible says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace with which we now stand. The first part, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God throughout all, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the biggest need for humanity? I will say peace is the greatest need that all human beings are looking for. People are looking for peace in many places, and sometimes they look for peace in terms of their work. People look for peace in the things that they accumulate. Sometimes people look for peace in relationships. But at the end of the day, there is something that Paul wants us to be able to understand, that therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And why is it therefore? It is therefore because of this one thing. In the preceding chapters, Paul has been laying a case for the gospel. And what has he been saying? That the gospel is a power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And in the entirety of chapter 1 to chapter 4, Paul is talking about how this comes about in the lives of people. And ultimately, the biggest challenge that faces all humanity has been resolved. Has been resolved by what? By Christ's death on the cross. By him coming and by him being able to transform us into a place whereby we are at peace with God. Now, one of the realities that we constantly need to be aware of is that God is angry with us. Why? Because we are sinners. And this is clearly demonstrated in Genesis chapter 3, whereby enmity between God and man comes in as a result of our sin. Each and every human being is born in a place of condemnation with God. They are born into a place whereby their relationship with God is not right. And many of the challenges that we face in our lives are as a result of the fact that we are born in that state of not being right with God. Every single calamity, every single difficulty that we will ever face in this world pales in comparison when you compare it to the wrath with which we are under God, that God can be angry with us. And it's in that helpless state where we are that God himself is able to break into our situation, be able to sort out our problem, because we are incapable of being able to sort out that issue. Thus, it should astonish us to discover that we can know peace with God. By our own wrong, evil deeds, we have made ourselves enemies with God, and his anger is rightly against us. And today, I can be able to say that part of the reason why we have come here today is because in one way or another, we want that relationship sorted out. It is a principle that actually we are able to see even in everyday life. Think about it. When you are not at peace with a friend, with a spouse, with a relative, It's really very difficult to have any sense of communion until you resolve what the issue is. True? Yes. And in many instances, you will even avoid being anywhere near them. As I see quite a number of married people, and they can be able to connect with this, that when you have a tiff with your wife, you will even delay going home. I mean, I'm talking to the Jamas. You probably watch TV a little bit longer, hoping that the person will have done what? Slept. But usually what happens when you open the door to the bedroom, she's seated. And you immediately know, "Whoa, today it is over." And sometimes you have to sit down there, or rather you have to sit and actually go through the process of untangling and doing and dealing with the heart issues. And when I say heart, H-U-R-T, that have come up as a result of your errors of omission or commission. But at the end of it all, there's something beautiful that happens when all is resolved. You know what I'm saying? Come on, unajua, unajua. That, you know, when you resolve everything, I was scared that there might be children in the sanctuary. But when you have resolved everything, things even are at a different level altogether. You know, you things just look different. Why? Because the relationship has done what? Has been mended. And if that is with fellow human beings, what about with God? You see, this is what actually triumphs and makes everything far much better. We live in a world of startups and of all manner and businesses. Can you imagine if you had a business, if you had a business idea that was so good, but you are riddled with debt, let's say of about 500 million Kenya shillings. Then an investor came and did an assessment of your business and discovered that actually your idea is worth 5 billion Kenya shillings. You know what happens? Immediately, the 500 million debt pales in comparison to the what? To the value of your business. Now, the same thing happens in our lives, that sometimes the little things that we face, and when we go through them, they are heavy, they are challenging. There's nothing simple about losing a brother. There's nothing simple about losing a husband. There's nothing easy about losing a wife and any one of the challenges that we face. But at the end of it all, they pale in comparison when this one thing you discover, that you have peace with God. And the time to be able to build that muscle is when things are okay. So when we have Nawiri going on, discipleship classes, Kesha, reading God's word, that is the time to be able to build that muscle, because when the rubber meets the road, you're going to need every single ounce of your faith to help you. You know, we live in a world of drop me a pin to your place. And sometimes what happens is that you will be in your vehicle and you're traveling very nicely and everything is okay. And then suddenly the tarmac ends. And you call your friend, "Wait, where is your home? The road has ended." Woe unto you if, like most of us, you drive our little Japanese cars and you end up scratching the bottom, and probably you end up pouring all the oil from your car. But can you imagine the guy from Runda or wherever with his Range Rover? What happens? He will come to the end of the road and skim right over. Why? Because his vehicle is very much designed to be able to handle anything. It's a point and shoot, I will take you anywhere. What I'm trying to say is this. It is good to be able to develop those shock absorbers and things that are going to help us in our peace with God, especially when we are at peace and all is well. Secondly, I want to say something that happens when you have peace with God. Verse 2 says, "Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace with which we now stand and boast in the hope of the glory of God." What happens in Eden? In Eden, when we sinned, we broke the relationship that we had with us and God. And when that relationship broke, what generally happened is that we suffered a sense of alienation. And when we get alienated from God, what happens is that we no longer have access with him. Remember back in the day when you'd have problems with your parent and all was not well. What would happen? It would be very difficult to be able to approach your parent and be able to tell them anything. I remember very clearly that whenever a trip was coming up, you used to kind of like gauge far in advance, 3 weeks. So in 3 weeks, what are you doing? You make sure that you came to home early. You make sure that you made sure that you washed all the dishes. You make sure that you washed your clothes so that, you know what you're doing? You're accumulating goodness with which you'll be able to take to your father or your father and say, now, you know, there's a trip coming up. Now, can you imagine if you have not been doing all the good things and then you went to your father and you said, there's a trip coming up. Probably going to tell you, no, you have not been a very good person. I'm not going to pay for that. Thank God we don't have a father like that one. When God sorts out our issues, we have access to him. Access to be able to ask him anything. Access to be able to help us even in moments of great, great difficulty. But that access can only be aware of that access when you are at peace with God. And these are the moments able to develop that muscle of knowing that you can actually be able to go before God with all the challenges that you may be facing. You know, talking about that we live in a world of access and privileges. They are very, very important. You know, I came to discover that some of the flaws in our city, the lift never stops there. And if it stops, you discover, Allah, there's a floor in Nyayo House which has red carpets and the floors are wooden, paneled. Why? This is where the minister probably has an office and not everybody gets access to that floor. Access is everything. That's what we sell to people because we all know that at the end of the day, access means an opportunity to be able to get certain things. Why do we have so many challenges with our political system? Because you've come to discover that as long as our man is in a place of power, then we have access and privileges to be able to get development in our places. And that is why we fight so hard. You know, last December, I happened to have had the privilege of, I had to do some work at the coast and needed to come back to Nairobi very quickly. So I happened to have decided to fly back. As I was coming, because I don't do this all the time, obviously I was excited, so I decided to take pictures of the aeroplane, and I was very happy on the apron. You know, you always know somebody who doesn't fly. They're the ones who go around taking pictures of the plane. I noticed that the captain was waving. So I was like, who is he waving at? And I discovered he was actually waving at me. And I was like, hey, the captain even knows me. I walked up the ramp, and right at the door, he was actually waiting. I discovered actually it was one of you. And he told me the following, it was very interesting. Pastor, do you mind joining us in the cockpit? And I'm like, hey, do I mind? And I said, I don't mind. And he told me the following, go sit down, get settled, I will send the passer. This guy, there's somebody called a passer in a plane to come and do what? And pick you up. And lo and behold, you know, I sat there and I waited. And the passer came and told me the captain would like your pleasure in the cockpit. And it was really, really nice. You see, can you imagine? That is the kind of feeling I had. And it's just a human person in something that has been made by a human being. The Bible says, we have gained access by faith into this grace with which we now stand and boast in the hope of the glory of God. Wow! I mean, I'm thinking, glory of God? These are things that people used to, you know, Moses comes across the glory of God and he's actually told, you can't even be able to behold, I will put you in a cleft in a rock so that when the glory passes, you'll do what? You'll only see my back, but not the front. And when Moses comes down from the mountain, what happens? He's literally glowing as a result of being in the not really in the presence of God, but partial presence of God. Our situation is that when we, in our current state of being justified by God, we have been able to access God in ways and means that you cannot be able to even imagine. The reality is that what God has done for us, it cannot be replicated by any other person. But then there's something else that the Bible says this. There's a word hope. Why hope? Because in the Bible, the word hope usually refers to the things that God promises to his people in the future. God's promises are certain and therefore their hope is indeed secure and certain. But you kind of have to believe. In 2006, the issues of life and death became very real when my father passed on. And even though I was in a seminary, and even though I thought I'd been a Christian for a very long time, for the first time in my life, I actually had to go to a place whereby I had to, by faith, hope and know that my father was where? In heaven, and I will see him again in eternity. You see, how can I be able to trust that? Because the promises of God are always true. They are certain. God will free them, will free us from our troubles in this world. And he will adopt us fully as his children. That is a hope we hold on to the future. And hope actually is what drives us. And as you call it faith, those of you who use public means, do you ever ask the driver, where is your license? When did you last service this vehicle? And you know, this is what actually happens. Early in the morning, everybody is comatose, they're asleep. And they trust somebody whom they don't know to take them from point A to point B. Faith is actually what drives the world around. So how about faith in a great God, whom we can be able to say gives us hope to be able to live our lives and live them to the full? You see, Paul, understand that we live in this world, goes on to say this, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character hope, and hope does not bring us to shame, does not bring us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. As I started off earlier on, I talked about peace with God, access, but also hope in our difficulties. And what Paul is saying is this, even though we live in this state of knowing that we are at peace with God, knowing that we have access to God, because we still live in a fallen world, difficult circumstances, which are very, very difficult to explain, will come. And questions will always abound. I think about my brother, John, and the challenge of having to be left with four children under 5 years. And in trying to be able to understand, so what is the purpose for it all? I realized that is not the moment for John to try and make sense of it all. The time to be able to make sense of it all is before, because in these verses, what the Bible tells us that not only so, but also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And at the end of the day, that is what people are looking for always. We live in a world in which challenges are with us all the time. And sometimes they come in places and in situations which you least expect. You are running a very good business. You have been able to do everything that is right, not be able to win this particular tender. And you really know that you have nailed everything right. But guess what? You get the email, we regret to inform you that you are not considered at this moment. You are applying for a job. You have been narrowed down to 3 candidates. You actually felt chemistry with the committee that was interviewing, and you were kind of like, you know what? I think I have got it. Then what happens? You get the email which says, we regret to inform you that what? You are not considered. And those can be very, very difficult moments in our life, because you look for answers. And sometimes the answers will not be forthcoming, or they will not come through the way you want. And even if somebody explains it to you, it will still not make enough sense. Yes, it might make sense in your head, but your heart will take a bit of some time to be able to make sense of it all. Paul is encouraging and telling us that we can actually be able to find joy in our difficulties. Christians can be joyful even during their moments of trouble. They are not, of course, joyful about their troubles. They are joyful about what God is doing in their lives during those moments of trouble. God is perfect and does not do any evil thing. He does not cause trouble for us, but he can use even the worst of situations for our benefit. So even our worst troubles cannot separate us from Christ's love. And that is something I want to tell us all, myself included. That yes, when those challenges come, we need to be aware that we are not going to be separated from God's love towards us. And we have all these heroes of faith who point us to this direction. I think about Abraham, who was promised to be a father of many nations. And the Bible actually says, when his body was actually as good as dead, and that of his wife Sarah, God was able to visit them and grant them a child. I think about Joseph, and all the things that he had to do, and the challenges he had to endure. Everything that Joseph did was prospered. But it seems like with every prosperity, it brought him lower and lower until he got to a place whereby he was ready to be able to ascend to the highest office. Sometimes the road to the high office is a low road. And you need to be aware of the fact that it's just part of the world in which we live in. So can we be able to experience peace? Yes, we can be able to experience peace. Because at the end of it all, there is a certain kind of robustness that is developed in each and every one of us when we've been able to persevere, when we've been able to know that at the end of it all, our character is being developed. And sometimes this is replicated even in everyday life. Many sports people will tell you that before you are even allowed to touch a ball and play with it, the first thing you do is that you do what you call strength training. I remember in college, I used to play a little bit of some basketball. And one of the things that happened is that for 1 month, would not touch the ball at all at the beginning of the year. All you seem to be doing is to run and do press-ups. Run and do press-ups. Why? Because there was something that is called endurance. Because once you start playing the game, from the first minute until the last minute, you need to be able to play at your what? At your optimum. In fact, now sometimes when you read the newspaper, you'll see somebody saying, the player is not match fit. What does that mean? That when that player gets into the field, he better be able to play at his optimum for the entire duration of the match. That is where we are called upon to be able to develop our muscle in every one of those moments. You see, we can be able to expect God to do good things in our lives. Our hope in God is not some uncertain hope like the ones of Inshallah, if God wills. No, ours is very much secure. I want to be able to finish by thinking about the following things. Peace and joy are real needs for many. We look for it in many, many places. But they are rarely met in many. Peace in this world and in its relationships is merely a form of delayed conflict or intricately maintained unstable democracy. We basically live from one domain to the next. So in the meantime, what happens? We have peace. As long as there's peace, we are good. In fact, many a times when you meet somebody, you always ask, are we okay? And they tell you, we are okay. It's never a time of, are we at peace? The other one is this. Joy is often reduced to a fleeting emotion driven by the slightest pleasure and quickly displaced by the smallest of pressure. But the peace and joy that comes from God by His grace and through faith in Jesus Christ is full of hope, even in the face of suffering. Why? Because the peace and joy that God gives to us is not from human striving. It can only be from the divine. And it's a free gift from God. In Christ, we who are sinners find forgiveness and eternal life in God's love. Yes, we are a going concern, which is riddled with debt. Huge debt. But guess what? You are immensely valued. So don't forget that. On the ground, it may look like you have 500 million in debt. But guess what? In terms of value and in terms of God's eyes, you are in the region of billions. Don't forget that. Because it is what is able to take you forward. But also, the world cannot be able to find such divine peace and love until it finds them first and foremost in the love of Christ. So next time you meet somebody, I tell them, I am saved. But more than just saved, I am very much at peace and I am loved because you know what? I am a far much worth. I am far much worth in terms of myself as a going concern than you could ever think or imagine.